Father Aaron A., when I was a youth director in Michigan, my main task was to take care of the teenagers. And I soon found out that the 10 or so teenagers that were organized as a teen group were pretty much, they felt like they were taken care of, and they kind of resented me coming into their group and trying to tell them what they might do, and they liked to have business meetings. They were very grown up, too grown up for me. So, you know, I did my best, but I turned my attention to the preteens, like about ages 6 through 12. And I began to do kids' Bible study and altar server practices with special teachings and events and girls' day out and things like that. And I was just overwhelmed with that ministry. Not only the openness of the children, but like you said, their ability to comprehend and to grow spiritually. And since that time, at least since that time, I've always thought it was a really big mistake for us as a church organizationally to try to begin formal type of ministry with children when they became teenagers, because it's too late. It's potentially too late. They've already, you know, kind of had their experiences, and they've already disengaged from the church. And this was my experience being raised in the church as well. Most of the people my age left the church, at least until they got married. So I just wanted to make that point that I would humbly suggest that the church needs to have formal, I say formal, I mean organized, I mean mindful, purposeful ministry to at least age 6 and up. And there are definite ways to do that.
Thank you, Father. Just a few quick reflections on your statement. Yes, I think that, as I said a few moments ago, the earlier the better, and as early as is possible, bearing in mind what as possible needs to mean, that it doesn't just mean whenever I feel like it, but when a child is actually capable of doing and learning what we need to teach them. However, I wanted to say something about the idea that the teenagers have already been sort of formed into rocks and can't be changed. I have two thoughts I wanted to share on that. One is that by working with the younger children, if the older children are resistant, you are actually working with the older children. Because we see. And if I feel my life is fine, no one can teach me anything, I'm going to be very resistant. But if I see other people's lives coming alive, if I see other people, particularly my juniors, if I'm a child and some younger child has more than I do, I immediately want to know what's up. When I see that life increasing, it inspires me. So very often when we find that older children are resistant, it's by working with the younger children, not just that you're preparing the younger children for when they get older, but the others will see, even the adults will see, and it's a form of adult education as well. But I wanted to raise a point that you didn't raise, Father, but which struck my mind as you were talking. You talked about people leaving the church until they got married. I find sometimes that we have a tendency to panic when our children, when they become teenagers or they go off to college, rebel from the church and distance themselves from the church. And our first response is to feel that the world has ended, that all that we have done is lost, that this sheep has walked off the cliff and will never be back. I think in our fallen lives, rebellion is regrettably, but in actuality, a part of the experience that young people go through. And I think we need to be less afraid of it than we actually are. If you try to curb it, if you don't let a child rebel, if you force them not to, you are creating a larger problem than the one you think you're solving, because it will simply forge a far, far deeper rebelliousness and a resentment that will last a lot longer than the rebellion itself might have done. This is not to say that when someone rebels, we don't try to correct them, that we don't try to draw them back, but it is to say that we needn't tear out our hair in defeated horror when we see a teenager rebelling against the church that they've been involved in as a child, or when a child goes to college and they start to ask questions and rebel. The response is to be consistent in the example that we have given them since the first moments, to be consistent in showing them a love that does not alter dependent on their actions, to correct them, to show them that there are standards that they must be held to, and when they wander from them, that there will be consequences, etc., but that the love doesn't change, that the care doesn't change, that it is a constant fact of God's mercy and therefore of ours, because we are called to reflect God's mercy. So not to be overly terrified when rebellion happens. I think we lose more people from that response than we reclaim.
Yes, I agree. The rest of the story, though, is that after 2 years of my time there, we had 50 or 60 teenagers, very, very enthused and excited and spiritually charged. So you're right about that. Eventually, I didn't want to say that I turned my attention away from the teenagers because they were hopeless or.
Yeah. No, I didn't take it that way, Father. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's the other remarkable fact about children is that with great predictability they grow older, and so you are working with someone who is going to be older. And if you want to affect, we were having a discussion at breakfast about the sort of instantaneous expectations that we often have, particularly in an American culture. Sometimes when one arrives in a parish and there's struggles with the children, you have to say, well, this will be fixed, and I'm going to, it may take 10 years, it may take 20, maybe by God's grace it'll take 2 weeks, and we always work with great vigilance for things to happen at God's speed, but to not grow weary. Sometimes sheep take a long time to figure out that they're not in the right place. The prodigal son had to wallow in the mud for a while before it says he came to himself and returned home. And the most important feature of that story is that when he did turn around, he saw that the father was still waiting for him. And I think that's the attitude that we have to have towards our children, is to make sure that no matter what they do, that we're standing on the porch with our arms open, showing them a love that will always bring them back and lift them up out of their sin. Thank you very much, Father.
I'm sorry. Am I overstaying my visit?
Well, I don't know if others have questions.
When I said that I think it's a mistake for us to start with, just to start with teenage, of course it's better than nothing, it's wonderful. What I meant was to really make the point that you made, that sometimes we think of children as potential Christians, as potential souls, and the reality is they're ready. I mean, they're ready to be taught and to be engaged and to be Christians. I did a study on Sunday school once, the origins of Sunday school, the history of it. It started in England in the mid-1800s, and it quickly went into America in the later 1800s. It was started by evangelicals, and the purpose of Sunday school, originally, they call it Sabbath school, was to teach illiterate children, usually impoverished, poor, illiterate children, how to read. So they taught them how to read the Bible, and they were trying to get them off the streets and so forth. But the prevalent majority view of evangelical Christians at that time was that children could not have a sincere and real conversion to Jesus Christ, to God. And so, based on that assumption, they started Sunday school just to teach them, but somehow they didn't They didn't believe that their hearts could engage and be changed. So I just think we need to be careful.
I agree very much. This whole notion that you have to reach a certain age before you can make a commitment to Christ, so-called, we could talk about its history, but it's irrelevant to us. It has no part in Orthodox theology. We take the smallest children and we lift them up to Christ. So I agree with you wholeheartedly, Father. There's no age too young to start forming someone in the life in Christ, which is why I say we bring them up and offer them communion long before they're able to speak or have any sense of what communion actually is. We still bring them up.